is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. 22-year-old Tyler Robinson, the accused killer of conservative activist Charlie Kirk, appearing virtually for his first court appearance today. Judge Tony Graff.
The defendant knowingly created a great risk of death to another individual other than Charlie Kirk and the defendant.
Charged with 7 counts, including aggravated murder, Robinson has yet to enter a plea. The state of Utah will seek the death penalty. In California, a judge agreeing with prosecutors that the Menendez brothers, Eric and Lyle, will not get a new trial for the 1989 murder of their parents in Beverly Hills. Executives at a Houston-based company, RCI Holdings, they run strip clubs, charged with bribing a New York official with free trips to some of the venues and private dances to avoid paying more than $8 million in sales taxes. President Trump has arrived in the UK for a historic second state visit with the British royal family. It's expected the president will also meet with business leaders there. This is ABC News. Meryl Streep says one of the lions has passed, and Jane Fonda says he stood for an America we have to keep fighting for.
Robert Redford got his start on Broadway with a single line in Tall Story. TV roles would follow, including a 1960 episode of Perry Mason.
And we carried her into the ladies' lounge so that she could lie.
Movie roles were next, with Redford playing opposite Paul Newman in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Would you make a jump like that you didn't have to?
I have to, and I'm not gonna.
Redford's first attempt at directing earned him an Academy Award for 1980's Ordinary People before his foray into political activism. Robert Redford died at home in Sundance, Utah at 89. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Annunciation Catholic School, where 2 children were killed in a mass shooting 3 weeks ago, will resume some on-campus activities this week. There's a new tropical disturbance developing in the Atlantic. The National Hurricane Center says the system could become a depression or a storm by the end of the week. I'm Dave Packer, ABC News.
Matt and Air on Air.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here.
I also don't want to, you know, sit and doom scroll before I go to sleep at night, because that's not good for my brain. It doesn't help my sleep patterns.
Right. My brother-in-law, you went to medical school with him. He said at 2 hours, turn off all screens. At 1 hour, get yourself ready for bed. And he goes, and Greg, bed is for 2 things. That's it.
What are they?
Moving on.
Sleeping
in chest.
Listen,
you laugh.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
The Badgers back in Madison. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers home this Saturday against the Maryland Terrapins. Wisconsin now 2-1 after their loss in Alabama over the weekend. Baseball, yesterday we told you Brewers manager Pat Murphy read a letter he said was from Bob Uecker to the team after they clinched the spot in the playoffs. Turns out it was another practical joke. Murphy now clarifies he wrote the letter all along, not Bob.
And it's just a way to honor the man, you know, and kind of put together some words that the players could resonate with, you know, things that he was about, because he's a big part of this thing. And I thought it would be a nice gesture to keep him involved. We brought the picture of him celebrating with us. And, you know, it was really about honoring him. And nobody believed in their right mind that, you know, he could produce a letter like that at this time, but his spirit is with us.
That's Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. A true Hollywood icon has passed away. Robert Redford died September 16th at his home in Sundance, Utah. Redford was born in Santa Monica, California in 1936. Prior to his acting career, he played college baseball, worked in oil fields in California, and studied painting in Europe. He got his first television role on Alfred Hitchcock Presents, then landed a role on Broadway in Neil Simon's The Way We Were. He would later play opposite with Barbara Streisand in the movie version as well. He followed that up with his breakout role in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid opposite Paul Newman. Redford was an accomplished director and producer in addition to his acting talents. His credits included All the President's Men, The Sting, Sneakers, and The Natural. Redford won a slew of awards in his career, including an Oscar for Best Director for the film Ordinary People and an honorary Oscar in 2002 for directing, acting, producing, and founding the Sundance Institute. He was also presented with the Presidential Medal of Freedom from President Barack Obama. Robert Redford was 89 years old. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX. La Crosse is home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, warm and muggy with a low in the mid-60s. Hot and humid again tomorrow, high in the mid-80s, some showers and storms in the late afternoon, with increasing clouds throughout the day. Storm chances continue tomorrow night, Thursday, and Friday. Right now it's 78 degrees.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome actor and Appleton native son, actor Mike McGill, whose credits include Shameless and Bosch, and syndicated columnist Greg Schwemm. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, we have our friend Marin on here, and we have a red alert and some positive things happening. Marin, I want you to take it away because we got some important things happening here in the Twin Cities. And so much support, but we need some more support and some more help. So welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Thanks again, Robert. I really appreciate that. It's a huge chimiigwech to you and everyone out there listening in Indian country. And just want to give everyone a couple updates about the Native American Elders Day, second annual. That's tomorrow. It's from 10 to 3 at Veterans Memorial Park, 6335 Portland Avenue. The event starts at 10 a.m. We have Linda Eagle Speaker will do the prayer, and we have Jerry Dearly's the MC. We have a character artist. We have a photo booth. We have raffle prizes, bingo. We have a couple guest speakers coming. We have so many sponsors that helped out within urban Indian country, but amongst the urban agencies that I'm beyond grateful for. I just would like to give a couple shout outs to one AICDC for purchasing the Red Lake Walleye we're having.
Oh.
The Mille Lacs Band for their discounted hotel rooms, because we have tribes. White Earth just messaged me. They're here. Wow. Grand Portage. Leech Lake is sending 90 elders down. Wow. Boys Fort, Fond du Lac, Mille Lacs. This is something that literally is going to continue to grow and grow. And the city of Ridgefield for letting us host it there. Back by popular demand is Elvis, whom we fly in from Vegas.
Yeah.
It's just so much fun. And one quick note, the Cub Foods on East Lake Street went above and beyond. And they literally, they are donating a complete chicken dinner meal for 650 people. The chicken,
wow,
the corn, the baked beans, and the coleslaw.
Wow.
And again, in our community, they've always stepped up and showed out. It's just, I was so emotional, Robert, when I heard that. I'm still emotional when I talk about all these things that we should be doing for our elders, that hopefully this will get the ball rolling, because I shouldn't have to be out here hustling to get money to do this. Although I don't mind it because I'm really good at asking. I'm not good at taking no for an answer, but I just feel that this is so important to our elders. It's the talk of the community. It's the talk of Northern Minnesota right now. And
yeah,
with all these bad things going on and our elders not getting services and spirit care stepping up to do this, it's just a really big deal to them. It might be small potatoes to some, but this is a really big deal to them. And the t-shirts we're getting made this year are fantastic. And if people, we still are actively looking for donations, and people can go to my website, spiritcareservices.com. And Robert, I hope you post that later also, but
okay,
whatever people can donate is we're grateful to volunteers for serving and cleanup are what's needed now. But I'm so excited about tomorrow, and the weather looks like it's really going to be great.
That's awesome. And I want to give a shout out to the Cub Foods. We were talking a little bit before the show. Their family is boots on the ground, and I believe it was owned by the Applebaums way back when. And just a big shout out to them. They've been in the community support for so long, and I just can't say enough. That's just amazing.
And you know, I think as a community as a whole in urban Indian country here, everyone's really stepped up because people have reached out about what can I do? I want to volunteer and everything. And my brother, Chris, is the volunteer coordinator, but we have an amazing committee also. And it just, none of this could be done by an individual. This is a collaborative, a community event. And especially with, you know, the other, you know, the shootings that are going on, and NPR News is going to be there to do a story on us. I've reached out to some of our local news stations, haven't heard anything back, which is understandable. Everyone's busy. I would feel like, again, these elders deserve recognition, but you know, everyone with social media now, they'll be posting it. But it's just, again, we have some surprise speakers coming, so nothing that I'll share, but I want, because I would love for them to be surprised. But I mean, the raffle prize is awesome. I mean, just bingo prizes, gift cards. It's just, It's just something that they deserve.
Now, I know at Goodwill, they call elders 55 years old. What's the cutoff here? Because I'm 64. I'm an elder in my tribe.
You certainly are. We know for our elders, especially with our life expectancy amongst Native Americans, it's 55 for sure.
Yeah.
And again, this we're having many vendors there, and we're not turning people away, right? It's Native American, Indigenous, but We're not that people anyway. We're all so hospitable that we want people to come. We want people to enjoy. We want people to be amongst other people. And it's, you know, it's just, this is a day to give thanks for being who you are and still being here as who you are. And it's just, it's so exciting because our elders are our gatekeepers. They're our storytellers, our language holders. These are the ones that we turn to when we have questions about life, right? One of the biggest things that I would love for volunteers to do when they get there is talk to elders. You never see an elder light up so much as you do to hear them talk about their childhood.
Yeah.
Without social media or phones or electronics. So.
Yeah, definitely. Let's give those the date and the time and the location again.
Yep. So it's tomorrow, September 17th, from 10 a.m. to, well, we're on Indian time, so we're hoping to start at 10 and hoping to end at 3, but we all know how that goes. You know, God laughs at those who make plans, right?
Yeah.
So from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., Linda Eagle Speaker said she'll be there at 9:30 for the prayer. Jerry Dearly is our MC. The Little Crow Drummers are drumming for us. We have some dancers coming, Zach Redbear, Holly Henning. And then we have bingo to wrap it up at the end from like 2 to 3:30-ish. So, yeah. But, yeah, it's just going to be amazing. It's just... just come celebrate. Just come enjoy company. Come enjoy good food.
Absolutely. And then also give where people can donate, because we have allies out there that have really been helping you out. And again, I can't say enough about Cub, but there's many of them.
Yes. And so you can go right to our website and there's a link to click on, or we take cash and check, Venmo, PayPal, Venmo when you get there. But it's spiritcareservices.com.
Right on. Right on. So anything else? Now, I know a big hit last year. Now, this is the second annual. A big hit was Native Elvis. Talk a little bit about him.
Oh, no, we didn't have Native Elvis last year. He was booked. He was booked. Oh. So we flew in an Elvis from Vegas. And he actually was amazing. Like, he got Peggy Flanagan up there dancing. It was so great, Robert. I cannot stress. And so he is back by popular demand. So he is, we're picking him up from the airport tomorrow. So it's just about having fun, right? Just making a fool out of yourself, going to the photo booth, going to the character artist. And there's all sorts of vendors. We have craft booths that are going to be there for jewelry and woodworking and all sorts of other things. But it's also, we're having the legal bus there. The legal bus will be there for questions about land trust, wills, living wills. Wow. Yes, because we need, our elders need to know about, hey, do I have my red, white, and blue card? I'm turning 65. How do I apply for Social Security? These resources will be there to answer these questions. So you don't have to worry about it, because I'll tell you what, Robert, navigating the system is impossible for any. I wanted to throw my phone out the window. It was insane. And so I can't even imagine how difficult it is for an elder to have to do that. It's so frustrating. So we have those resources there to answer these questions for them.
Wow. Great. I will see you tomorrow. And I don't know how long I can stick around because, you know, I got to get ready for the show, but this is awesome. Thank you so much for coming on. And
you're so welcome. I'm out, and I'm starting to feel like I could maybe fill in for Christine McDonald if you need a guest host sometimes, because she's so bad. She's so bad ASS that I feel like to step in her shoes, I could try.
Wow. I like to hear that. That's awesome.
Kidding. No, but she's awesome. She'll be there tomorrow. So
great. I need a break every once in a while, too. Thanks, Marn. We'll
see you
tomorrow.
You're welcome, Gigawaba Man.
Hey, next up, Dr. Stately. This is Native Roots Radio. Ho-wa.
After 20 years of service, the Metro Blue Line is ready for essential improvements. A multi-year transformation is on the way, bringing a better, smoother Blue Line experience. Renew the Blue will preserve and protect a critical piece of our infrastructure investment, helping it remain a safe, reliable, and affordable transit option for many years to come. Learn more about Renew the Blue at metrotransit.org/renew-the-blue. Metro Transit, Renew the Blue.
The Minneapolis Police Department is hiring, and we're looking for people ready to lead, serve, and reflect the communities we protect.
Whether you're a new graduate, changing careers, or already in law enforcement, there's a path for you to join our department.
With top-tier pay, full benefits, paid training, and a direct path to making a difference, this is more than a job. This is your chance to shape the future of Minneapolis Police.
Choose service. Choose leadership. Choose Minneapolis. Visit our city website to learn more.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NAGD. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NAGD.org.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The easy all-in-one plan includes personal support, coverage for medical, prescription drugs, and dental, plus many extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I want to be your next United States Senator, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. We are with our friend Dr. Stately. Great to see you, Dr. Stately, CEO of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, and our friend, and it's great to see you. A lot going on, you know, just things happening, and always love to hear your insight and what's going on. Welcome, as always.
Oh, well, thank you. Bonjour, everyone. It's good to see you, Robert.
Good yes. You've been really busy traveling, and we haven't had you on for a week or so. A lot going on. It's just the upside down world right now, and we got to keep our own poop in a group here.
the upside down world. Yeah, that's sometimes how it feels, you know? It's like nothing makes sense.
Yeah, well, I want to, I haven't asked you in a little while here, how is the clinic going now? I know it's building quick and you can see it. Let's talk a little bit about that before we get down and dirty.
Yeah, no. I was in Arizona all last week for the National Indian Health Board's National Tribal Health Conference, which was really amazing. It was so hot in Arizona, good Lord. Oof. And, you know, I had a little small speaking gig there, but also just really being around like such an amazing group of human beings. They were like, it was a really, really large conference, very, just a huge amount of people. And then, lots of, people, giving presentations on amazing work that they're doing. One of my favorite workshops I went to was with Abigail Alcohawk from Urban Indian Health Institute at Seattle Indian Health Board. And she just gave an amazing conversation, or led an amazing conversation about AI and the potential benefits of AI, but also the potential threats to AI within tribal settings around healthcare and in any number of sort of other spaces and places that you'd find AI, and just, you know, the efforts that we have to do within our communities to start now to ensure that we are protecting our data. So data sovereignty being a really, really critically high, important conversation to have, but also like protecting our indigenous knowledge and wisdom from appropriation, and I've had some of these conversations with you, I think, and probably other people. And I said, like, you know, I'm anxious about, like, you know, some of the work that NAC has been doing in the traditional healing realm and these conversations we've been having at the national level to sort of develop the capacity to be able to bill for traditional healing services. We've got 4 states on the West Coast that are doing that now, the West and the Southwest. Minnesota is kind of lining up here, I think, to submit our CMS Center for Medicaid Services waiver here soon. And we're now just starting those conversations. And of course, one of my primary concerns is, like, you know, how do we protect this information, this knowledge, this wisdom, ancient knowledge that belongs to our people, belongs to, you know, and it belongs to each specific tribe, because those practices are tribally specific, right?
Right.
And, you know, these are things that we inherited from our ancestors through oral tradition and through, like, practice and through, you know, the traditional way of teaching these things. And, you know, the worst thing that can possibly happen is that, you know, some of this information would get embedded in things like AI and other technologies where, you know, non-Indigenous people could get access to that and appropriate it. And then before you know it, they're doing all kinds of crazy stuff with it. The Kardashians are, you know, going to be, you know, giving out Indian names and being Indigenous midwives and charging hundreds of thousands of dollars for those things.
Well, we had a period of time, we laugh about that, but there was people doing swats, killing people all across the country.
Well, yeah, I mean, I remember, this is something I remember from when I was still working for the tribe and I was director of behavioral health services there. And I remember that big, huge thing that happened in late 2015, maybe early 2016, right around that period of time before I came to NAC, where there was a white guy in Arizona, I think it was outside of Tucson, had like 150 people in a big, huge sweat lodge, and several of those people died. Many of them got very sick. Right. And, you know, this is not uncommon to see in, you know, among, it seems to be an oversight for a lot of white men specifically who are doctors or other kinds of, you know, have authority identity issues where they think, oh, I can go to a thing, I can watch it a couple of times, and all of a sudden now I can tell myself I know how to do this, and then they end up harming people. like, you know, these are practices that we have been doing since the beginning of time, and it takes a lot of time to learn how to do that and to be responsible and do it well. And so I think those are the, in the realm of this conversation, these are things that really concern me about the, you know, the potential harm that artificial intelligence can do in its impact on tribal people. We're already seeing the impact of those things in climate and all kinds of settings. So, you know, we got to kind of fight the good fight where we need to be able to. And I know lots of places are talking about this, but this is one place where, you know, it's really where we have to begin to start thinking through, like, you know, our sovereignty, our indigeneity is what makes us who we are. And we have to protect that. Not just for ourselves, but for the seventh generation down the line. So,
absolutely. I wasn't even thinking of that. I was thinking more of the lines of when people look up on the, what is that, Ask a Doctor website, and they become a professional, and I'm just going to AI this and treat myself.
I think there's a lot of people that probably do that now. Sometimes I look things up, but like, you know, if it's something serious, I'm going to have to talk to a real doctor, not an AI doctor.
Right, exactly. So, yeah. Well, yeah. And again, it can be used really in a good way.
I think there's lots of things. I mean, Abigail Echohawk, in her conversation, she did a lot of really great ways of demonstrating how we could actually build into the walls and the framework of AI. We, as Indigenous people, we have the opportunity to teach AI how to do this appropriately by being responsible ourselves and understanding how that process works, which is like, you know, like, I don't know about you, but I ain't going back to college to learn how to do that. But but I think the other part of that is the other side of that is to be really thoughtful and conscientious about what we put into AI. She mentioned in her talk, she said there were people, New Zealand, the Maori down in New Zealand were recognizing that some folks had been sort of taking elements of their language that they had been putting and using in, like, documents and AI and stuff like that, that were proliferating AI. And then there were, they were seeing in that space, that artificial space, like misrepresentations or misinterpretations of their language. Yeah. Because so, like, just recognizing, I think one of the things that was really like an eye-opening recognition for me, because I have used AI for a couple of different things, you know, I like write a letter, sure. Oh, clean this up. Oh, I write this thing, clean this up. Mm-hmm. That anything and everything you put into AI becomes the property of AI unless you specifically, explicitly determine, like, especially the ones that are open and free, like free ChatGPT that you don't pay for.
Right.
That becomes the property of those people that develop that system. And so I think the part of it is, like, when we start to put our thoughts, our ideas, our Indigenous ideas, our wisdom, our knowledge, our words, our language, those things, we are using those in those conversations, that gets into AI and it becomes a process by which other people can access those things to get, you know, in, you know, you'll see it being proliferated throughout AI. So it just, like, it was an eye-opening conversation for me to be in, because, really, you know, because I have to be thoughtful and cautious about my responsibility as an Indigenous leader about how to use this tool appropriately and protect what's ours, our indigeneity, our language, our culture, our medicines, our practices, our wisdom. You know, those things don't belong to me. They were given to me, and they're for me to give on to the next generation.
That's
profound. I spent a lot of days thinking about it after that.
You know, and I haven't really thought about that until you brought it in, because I use AI also. Every once in a while I'll go, what's going on in Indian country? And I'll ask AI that question, and it'll pop stuff off with, pretty much research, you know, going to all these websites and giving me some highlights to talk about. So it's pretty interesting, because what you put in, they keep, and we forget about that.
Yeah. And then it becomes their proprietary information. Yeah. Anyway, skipped over your whole first question, which is, like, yes, the clinic is coming along great. Yes.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. 22-year-old Tyler Robinson, the accused killer of conservative activist Charlie Kirk, appearing virtually for his first court appearance today, Judge Tony Graff.
The defendant knowingly created a great risk of death to another individual other than Charlie Kirk and the defendant.
Charged with 7 counts, including aggravated murder, Robinson has yet to enter a plea. The state of Utah will seek the death penalty. In California, a judge agreeing with prosecutors that the Menendez brothers, Eric and Lyle, will not get a new trial for the 1989 murder of their parents in Beverly Hills. Executives at a Houston-based company, RCI Holdings, they run strip clubs, charged with bribing a New York official with free trips to some of the venues and private dances to avoid paying more than $8 million in sales taxes. President Trump has arrived in the UK for a historic second state visit with the British royal family. It's expected the president will also meet with business leaders there. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
The Badgers back in Madison. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, college football. The Wisconsin Badgers home this Saturday against the Maryland Terrapins. Wisconsin now 2-1 after their loss in Alabama over the weekend. Baseball, yesterday we told you Brewers manager Pat Murphy read a letter he said was from Bob Uecker to the team after they clinched the spot in the playoffs. Turns out it was another practical joke. Murphy now clarifies he wrote the letter all along, not Bob.
And it's just a way to honor the man, you know, and kind of put together some words that the players could resonate with, you know, things that he was about, because he's a big part of this thing. And I thought it would be a nice gesture to keep him involved. We brought the picture of him celebrating with us. And, you know, it was really about honoring him. And nobody believed in their right mind that, you know, he could produce a letter like that at this time, but his spirit is with us.
That's Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Feel like spending Christmas in Las Vegas? I'm sure the town would love to bring tourism back, and hopefully Mariah Carey's new residency will help. Mariah Carey's Christmas time in Las Vegas will kick off November 28th at Dolby Live at the Park MGM. Carey will perform 10 shows that will conclude on December 13th. Do you think she'll sing All I Want for Christmas? If you're looking for a road trip, tickets go on sale September 20th. Sydney Sweeney continues to diversify her resume with her latest role being a maid. The Housemaid stars Sweeney alongside Amanda Seyfried in this dark psychological thriller. The story follows Sweeney's character, who is fresh out of prison and who is hired by Seyfried's character and her handsome husband, and becomes close to the attractive couple. Pretty sure this isn't an adult film, but who knows? The Housemaid will drop in theaters December 19th. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, warm and muggy with a low in the mid-60s. Hot and humid again tomorrow, high in the mid-80s, some showers and storms in the late afternoon, with increasing clouds throughout the day. Storm chances continue tomorrow night, Thursday, and Friday. Right now it's 78 degrees.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Joseph Pecky.
As much as I disagree with Charlie Kirk, no American should ever face physical violence for what they believe. And maybe that's how we get past it and move forward, is just say, this is not about, we can't get to a period of political violence. We're in one, and now we got to get out of it. And we have to recognize each other's humanity.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody. The deadline clock is ticking in Washington, D.C. on a spending bill when we have a government shutdown. We'll discuss it with Pat Kreitlow of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow and Trigby Olson of the Lincoln Project. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Native Roots Radio, and I'm with our friend Dr. Stately, who's the CEO of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, and had a really interesting discussion about AI. Now I'm kind of wondering, we just ended the last segment, and I was wondering, what is going on with the building now? You said a second floor. It must be just exciting to leave work and see the progress.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. I was like, you know, first of all, I left on Monday, came home Friday evening. So it's been a week since I've been in the office. And when I came to work this morning, I was like, and yesterday my kid had a surgical procedure, so I worked from home. But I came into the office this morning. I was like, what? Because when I left, it was like still the underground parking structure part was still being completed, but they were starting to put the floor on the first floor, the foundation for the first floor in place. And I came back and the floor is pretty much done on the first floor. And, you know, they're starting to prepare to make the next level up. So, you know, in a week or so, we'd have the two floors of the clinic built, right?
Wow.
In theory, in maybe 2 to 4 weeks, we would have that. So by the end of September, mid-October. And it's happening so quickly and it's really exciting to see. And, you know, I'm profoundly fascinated by, you know, this is not the first construction project I've or witnessed to, you know, I've seen them all. It's the first one that's happening kind of quote unquote in my front yard. So I get to see it on a regular basis. So I'm a little bit more fascinated by the rapidity of it. And then more fascinated by the actual machinations of it, that it's watching this stuff happen.
Yeah.
I'm like, good Lord. How did they figure out how to do it?
Right. Well, when we were little kids, we watched that all the time, whether it was dump trucks or, you know, but it is fascinating.
I remember being a little kid and I remember when they were building the IDS tower in downtown Minneapolis. Oh,
yeah.
Because my mom used to take us to the dentist in the Fauché Tower, which used to be the tallest building.
Yes.
In Minneapolis
forever.
Back when we were little kids, right?
1973.
So I remember watching the IDS tower being built and just being fascinated by that.
Yeah.
So this is a little bit different because it's right in my backyard and I'm just going, I had no idea they could build things this fast. It's like,
well, remind our listeners what we're talking about, because I don't want to be talking in code. There's people always jumping on and listening.
Oh,
for the
sure.
First time.
Yeah. NAC is in the process of building a brand new clinic. We closed on our funding January-ish, February-ish. For our new building, which we are building in the parking lot of our existing building in space.
Amazing.
So we're operating in our current building, which is this little dilapidated one-story, you know, 21,000 square foot building that's part of the Ancient Traders Market, you know, that was built back in the 80s. And we own the big parking lot in front, and we learned that we could build a brand new clinic and a new building in that parking lot. So we raised, you know, between us and our housing partner, we raised around $57 million to break ground in June. I think late May, early June, we broke ground. So we're about 3 months in, and the project is moving at lightning speed. And we are building a two-story clinic that is, you know, brand new with underground parking for the housing that's going to be above, four floors of housing, deeply affordable housing for people living in our community that are struggling with, houselessness and or episodical sort of transition in and out of housing. We will be, you know, opening hopefully this time next year, the last quarter of 2026. So somewhere between, you know, October to the end of December, we'll be opening the building. While we have a construction crew doing that, we're busy in the clinic running the day-to-day operations like we are currently right now. And we've been lucky because we haven't had a tremendous amount of disruptions in the construction project. It's been managed really, really well with our partnership with Frana is the main construction group that's responsible for managing that. They've done an amazing job at sort of like, you know, trying to stay on time and manage challenges. We had a couple of challenges, but they've managed them well. And not disrupt the flow of the clinic traffic. We've been able to continue to serve people. Our clinic has, my operational team and the people working on the project have done a really great job of pivoting and making sure that we're informing people on Facebook, on all of our socials. Mm-hmm. We have a text messaging program to all our patients that are sort of signed up for that. They get a text message with construction updates and any changes to the, you know, what door you're supposed to get and go in this day. We've created, you know, as much support for both our patients and our staff for parking, because we took away their parking lot.
Yeah.
So we created a new parking lot on the eastern side of the building. We, you know, have signage along 21st Street and the surrounding area about how to get to us. And we're doing our thing.
Where's the inflatable colon going to be? That's my
question. Don't know that there's space for the inflatable colon. We haven't really figured that out. When we're done finishing the building, we'll tear down the existing building and build a new parking lot in that place.
And
once we get everything in place, we'll continue to do our community events, probably in our new parking lot and our new plaza. We have a beautifully designed new plaza between our new building and the Maria's space.
Right.
So that place will be a place for public gatherings and holding events and a few other things. And we'll be doing most of our stuff there. And I'm sure there will be some way to fit the rolling colon in somewhere. But
yeah. Well, that's news to me. I guess I haven't been paying attention that you're going to raise that area, the old clinic, and put that area in there. So that's really cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's hard to believe that this time next year we'll be close to the end of building.
Wow.
You know, the end of the building is just like, you know, so that you can... The actual construction of the project is it's not to say that it's not a big deal. You know, it is a big deal. It's a huge deal. We're doing a really big thing. And, you know, it's my greatest honor and privilege to be able to sort of like shepherd some of that, or even, you know, be on the team that helped create the space and opportunity for that. I think it's going to be, you know, I've described this before in other spaces as sort of like my legacy project, my love song to the community.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
The way that I, as in my role as the leader of this organization, I'm able to demonstrate my love for the community, the love that I have for the people and the work that we do, and you know, just my gratitude to be able to give that kind of a gift to the community. And it's not my gift; I just created this opportunity, and so
that's huge.
But also, it's like I'm sure when we get close, I'll be weeping by then.
Yeah, well, we'll have to put, you know, maybe a lock of your hair in the time capsule in the side, and people can open that up in 100 years and make another Dr. Stately with your DNA. Oh, wow.
Let's not go too far.
Yeah. You know?
The first 23 years of life or so weren't all that great. I don't know if you want to replicate me in whole.
Well, look at now. It always gets darkest before sunrise, and look at what you're doing now. So
yeah,
you have to go through what you got to go through.
Yeah, but I think also the biggest challenge ever we will have as an organization is like, you know, we have this beautiful brand new building where we're centering culture and our practices and our ceremonies and our rituals and our medicines into the fabric of the building, and also the the space. Like, you know, I've said to people, I want you, when you walk through the front door, I want you to feel like you're walking into a ceremony, like you're walking into a healing space, a lodge. So that feeling and that sense is what we're trying to replicate. And what that also means is, as we as an organization, as a group of human beings, 100 and so number of human beings that work together that aren't necessarily all Indigenous. We have a very large Indigenous staff, but we also have non-Indigenous people working with us who share some of the things that we share, but a lot of them don't necessarily, it's not that they don't share them, they may not necessarily have a lot of knowledge and wisdom about those. So between now and the time we open up, we're going to spend a lot of time trying to reshape the culture of the organization and the team and the workforce, and make sure that that our relationships, we're operating in right relations with one another, and we're delivering care and service that aligns with the overall vision of the space and place, so that, you know, when you come to NAC, you are being, that we're living out our mission, which is we treat each other and we treat everybody who walks through our door as good relatives. We lead with that value of being a good relative, and every interaction is a mini ceremony. It's an opportunity to build, you know, spiritual connection and human connection and build a relationship and strengthen those relationships over this generation and every other generation that comes after.
Wow.
And that's, you know, what we're trying to create. So,
well, I'm sure you will. That's amazing. Just hearing you say that and speak about that. I know, to me, that's amazing. Dr. Stately, we got time for another segment.
Yes. I'd love to hang out with you.
I'd like to see with what's going on nationally too, how you're protecting your soul and your family's soul and what's going on, because it's dark times now, and it's been for a while. So it's good to see you, and we're going to be right back. This is Native Roots Radio, and we're with Dr. Stately of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. We'll be right back.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis Air. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
After 20 years of service, the Metro Blue Line is ready for essential improvements. A multi-year transformation is on the way, bringing a better, smoother Blue Line experience. Renew the Blue will preserve and protect a critical piece of our infrastructure investment, helping it remain a safe, reliable, and affordable transit option for many years to come. Learn more about Renew the Blue at metrotransit.org/renew-the-blue. Metro Transit, Renew the Blue.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of Indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NACD. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NACD.org.
The Minneapolis Police Department is hiring, and we're looking for people ready to lead, serve, and reflect the communities we protect.
Whether you're a new graduate, changing careers, or already in law enforcement, there's a path for you to join our department.
With top-tier pay, full benefits, paid training, and a direct path to making a difference, this is more than a job. This is your chance to shape the future of Minneapolis Police.
Choose service. Choose leadership. Choose Minneapolis. Visit our city website to learn more.
Oh, this is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka, hecha, wecha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. We're with our friend Dr. Stately, Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, CEO, and just all-around groovy guy. Love having our conversations. A lot going on when you were out of town, too. I don't know. For me, knowing getting killed by a gun, no matter if you're a child or an adult or in front of your children, like happened here, too, with our political people here in Minnesota, is just not a good thing. And I just feel we had a really somber week talking about this, and I just wanted to get your take and how you're protecting your soul. And I know talking about it is a big thing.
It's been a very surreal week for sure, if not a couple weeks. I think, you know, a surreal few months, actually, if you think about it. This is not our first time at the fair here, at the violence fair.
Right.
Which is like, you know, when this thing over the last couple of weeks since the shooting at the Annunciation Church or the school, and right. and then last week's shooting of Charlie Kirk,
yeah.
It sparked in me and then even last night there was a shooting in the encampment up on houseless encampment up on Lake Street near the 35W bridge, right? Mm-hmm. And some folks lost their lives. And I think one of the things that I would just say is like that it makes me, you know, the Charlie Kirk shooting actually reignited for me all those emotions and feelings I had when Representative Hortman and her husband were shot and killed, and then also the Senator Hoffman and his wife.
Right.
And you know, and the thing about how, you know, just the, you know, I mean, I'm still trying to sort of sort some of those things out in my own head, specifically around like how I feel about the Charlie Kirk assassination, as we would call it.
Yeah.
Which is, there's, you know, of course I feel horribly and I feel sad and by the things that are going on in our society. I feel sad and I'm never mm-hmm. happy that somebody is shot and killed. I'm never happy right. that somebody dies. That to me just is flies in the face in this of my value system as an Indigenous man and the way that I try to walk the earth, right?
Right.
I try to live by that value of our original instructions and the grandfather teachings that we have as Ojibwe people are the Dakota value system, which is, you know, mm-hmm. be a good relative. These are our, you know, for lack of a better way of describing it, these are our stone tablets that, you know, Moses got. And that would be probably the closest way of sort of describing that for white people if they didn't know what we're talking about.
Right.
But the thing is that, you know, of course, those things that we learn, those teachings that are given to us are much more expansive than just what is mentioned in those conversations in the Bible. I think one of the things for me is like, you know, that's the roadmap that I have been given as an Indigenous man to teach me how to walk this earth. And am I going to do it perfectly every single moment of my day, every single day, as I walk? I'm not going to do it perfectly. I'm going to have a lot of I'm going to make a lot of mistakes, right? Mm-hmm. And hopefully some of those, the majority of those mistakes, if not all of them, won't be seriously egregious and certainly not harmful to someone else, right? That's my goal. And so I don't ever wish violence on anyone, and I don't really wish that bad things happen to people. That said, I also recognize that Creator, God, Allah, you know,
mm-hmm.
whoever you want to sort of like call your higher power, your higher being that you sort of like, they give us that being and that entity gives us individual choice, gives us free will, right? To walk this earth and either walk that path, that good red road, or to sort of meander and fall off and go in a different direction. And that direction can sometimes lead to really horrible things, horrible outcomes for people, even horrible outcomes for our own selves when we're not thoughtful and paying attention. And so I think from that context, I'm like, you know, Charlie Kirk as a human being, he had a right to live, you know.
Right.
He shouldn't be murdered or killed for his thoughts and his ideas. And you know, we should be able to have a discourse and a conversation in our society where we disagree or we have different ideas and we share those ideas. But it also, and we shouldn't be afraid to have those conversations and be worried that we're going to be killed for those conversations.
Right.
That's just like, you know.
Do you remember?
Cavemanish, I think.
Yeah. Do you remember Governor Wallace, the Southern governor?
Yeah.
He changed his way of thinking in his later years of life. So Charlie Kirk is never going to have that opportunity. And that's
one way of thinking of it is he's robbed of that opportunity, right? He's robbed of his opportunity to sort of have a different, have a change of heart and a change of mind. And I think the other thing that sort of like, I think that hit hard for me is that he has small children. I mean, I think about things like, you know, like what does it mean for a child to lose their parent? What does it mean for, those children have to grow up without a parent? Would I ever want that for anybody's child? I certainly wouldn't want that for my children. I wouldn't want me to be wiped off the face of the earth and my children have to be raised without me.
And you know, see
how tragic that would be, right?
You know, it took 20 years before we saw the Kennedy assassination, JFK, I'm talking about. And this was out there. I mean, I couldn't help but see it on YouTube and all over, which really was amazing in not a good way.
Yeah, it was shocking, actually. It was really shocking. I saw the video footage of it, like, you know, somewhere, I think probably on YouTube, people were posting it. I think it's just really bad form, but
right.
Yeah, I know there's plenty of people out there that will disagree with me and a few other things, and that's okay. I mean, I'm okay with people disagreeing with me. Just don't shoot me for it. And I think the other thing that I would say is like, you know, so there's that piece. I also struggle with this feeling about like, you know, we should be held responsible for our words that we use. When our words and the way that we talk about people and human beings, the way that we talk about groups of individuals and the way we demonize them and dehumanize them. It's not even demonizing them. It's like dehumanizing them.
Right.
Right. We are, the thing that's troubling to me is that where we're at in our society, where we're at a place where, you know, we're getting so close to that place where, you know, it's like what was happening, you know, right before Hitler came into power, which is like, you know, creating the processes and the policies and the practices by which we can treat human beings, our other brothers on this planet, and our brothers and our sisters, our other relatives on this planet, we can treat them inhumanely and treat them like they're not human. Yeah. And when you start to see people as not human and not relatives, it's easy to kill them, whether it's through assassination or other means. And that's the thing that concerns me, is that's where we're getting in. And it's really challenging for me. It hurts my heart that I have to help my 18-year-old sons navigate this world and try to understand that. And at the same time, keep them safe. And at the same time, help them to understand that there's a future for them. Like, how do we as parents have those conversations?
Wow. No doubt. Dr. Stately, I really appreciate your insight as always. Thank you so much for coming on. The day that you normally don't, I really appreciate you having your schedule change and speak these words, because we need to hear it. And I really appreciate you and all the work that you do in the community.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, Corrine Hendrickson, a former child care provider, and Francesca Hong, a state legislator, are each looking at making some electoral moves in 2026.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Utah prosecutors say the death penalty is on the table for the suspect in the death of right-wing activist Charlie Kirk, Tyler Robinson, facing 7 counts, including aggravated murder. In the stopgap funding bill that Republicans hope to vote on this week, $30 million to guard members of Congress and their districts. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries.
It's not clear to me where the $30 million number came from, what it actually would fund. What's the basis of the number?
Jeffrey says Democrats won't support it. 13 wounded, 5 critically, 2 shootings just 12 hours apart in homeless encampments in Minneapolis. There were the 4th and 5th mass shootings in the city in the past 3 weeks, including one on October 27th at Annunciation Catholic School that left 2 children dead and 21 people injured. Marshall University says its president, Brad Smith, and his wife have made a substantial $50 million gift to the university to promote education. Dave Packer, ABC News.
You're listening.